B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3.
Let's get to some of your calls. Let's go to Troy, who's in Dorchester. He's been hanging on, wanting to talk about the draft. Go ahead, Troy.
What up, Troy?
Oh. All right. We'll go to John in the car. John.
How you guys doing today?
Good.
Hey, how you doing, John?
I just want to talk about this Belichick and his kids coaching. You know, look, if you think about it, 30% of second-generation family businesses fail. That's because the kids just aren't as good as their parents are in these type of things. But I think the best thing for the Belichick kids is, if they really want this to be a career, is to go work somewhere else first. Prove themselves without dad on the as their backup and see what they got. What do you think?
I agree with that. They'd be better served to go somewhere else at some point. And not ascend directly into a, you know, taking over for dad type of thing, which no one is saying is going to happen. But I'm with you. I'm with you on that. Go somewhere else. See how it's done somewhere else. I would say that that part about the second generation failing, a lot of it probably has to do with the fact that the first generation had a much tougher road. Look at the career that Bill Belichick had before getting a shot at being a head coach. How long he had to work, and things have changed in the NFL.
You don't think
but
he
you had to
his
be an assistant.
Zach
you had
Taylor's.
To do you had to do grunt work and be an assistant for a really long time to work your way up to being an NFL coach. And the path is a lot quicker, and there are a lot more younger coaches in the league that would not have existed 30 years ago. But I think Bill Belichick's path to being what he is was a long, grinding, hard work type of path that I don't think a lot of guys take anymore, but the older coaches, I think, are better served by it. That's what I think. Okay, we'll go to Dominic in Connecticut. Hi, Dominic.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hey.
Good, what's up?
How are you?
Hey, I'm a big fan of the show, and I love Zoe. You're the man, Zoe.
I drove through Connecticut the other day.
Oh, that's awesome. I was working in Connecticut the other day.
That's awesome. We got gas there.
Hey, man, I just wanted to throw this out there because I watch the show every day because I work overnights. You know, I'm an oath keeper and a three percenter, and I'm a public servant. We're about the Constitution in both things. This is not – I understand where you get the right wing stuff from, but the oath is about our oath we took to defend the Constitution.
Who do you take that
oath? We believe everybody's constitutional rights should be upheld regardless of their beliefs.
Okay.
Okay.
Good.
All right, then.
I don't think anybody argues against your rights to the Constitution should not be upheld, right? I mean,
I'm not
that's why
doing
you have
this.
The Constitution.
Right? I'm more interested in the kicker. What you think of the kicker? Mike in Virginia, you got any thoughts on the kicker?
Was he 18 to 21, Beetle? He had 18 to 21 field goals. Is that the number? Only missed three?
Mike,
long
you there?
53.
Hey.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys, I respect what you're doing. This guy's a good kid. He's from Clifton Park. He's going to come in here. He's not a rinky-dink like Gostkowski. He's 6'2". He's a big kid. He's going to last. 85% of this kid, guys. My question for you, though, who's going to come in and compete with this kid?
You know, how big Gostkowski was?
It's a good question, Mike. Who's the other guy? They got to get another kicker in here.
They will.
Will they?
They got to get another one in here.
They've gone through plenty of camps where they have not brought in other kickers in years when we thought, man, it might be a good idea to bring somebody in here.
Different when it's a rookie, though, and now I got to go back. Did Steven Gostkowski have competition in his rookie year? Do you remember, Zoe?
I got to think. Oh, God, dude.
It was 2007, right?
I can't recall.
Can't remember either.
I just always remember kickers, man. Like when we had him, it was Vinatieri and Dawson, Phil Dawson, who both had great careers.
But Hardy, here's what I would say: not just about competition. What if Rohrwasser sucks? What if he can't handle it? What if he's not cut out to be in the NFL and they made a mistake in the fifth round? What's the backup plan again?
What if he
can't do what they did last year?
You rip your hammy first day. You know, I mean, what are you going to do? You need two kickers.
Hey,
especially if they're young.
You are preaching to the wrong choir on this one. The NFL and their teams don't care about kickers. That's why Rohrwasser was the first one taken at 150, whatever the hell it was. They don't care. The one guy who you know you're going to rely on to put points on the board for your team each and every game, that the teams don't care about him. They don't care about the position. So now bring in a I am done carrying the water of place kickers in the NFL. Nobody cares about him. I've been told too many times by Zoe and everyone else that they're not even real football players. So forget it.
They're not. But this team has cared about them for a very long time.
Not really.
Not really. Yes, they have.
Yeah,
sure they have.
Yeah, they've been.
Party, what are you talking about?
Come on.
They
Gino
had a Hall of Fame
score for the AFL. He's not even in a real Hall of Fame.
And when Gostkowski got injured last year, what was their backup plan? Let's go find somebody for a week. Then we'll go find someone else for a week. And then we'll find someone else to help us with the rest of the season.
Okay,
and when that's done, we'll go get somebody else.
But they've had one of the highest paid kickers in the league for years, and they spent a pick on getting Steven Gostkowski to replace a Hall of Famer in Adam Vinatieri.
Two kickers in 24 years.
This coach and this team cares about kickers. They do. They don't like having the same, you know, bum of the month club that the rest of the league has had. And that doesn't apply to every team because there are obviously examples of some really good kickers in this league. But
when Gostkowski went down last year, they were like every other team in the league where they had the bum of the month club for the rest of the season.
Their guy got hurt, though. I mean, what
do you want them to do? One guy. Then I'm not. Add this to the list of things doing today. I'm not going to argue about the importance of kickers because I tried doing it last year and everyone told me to shut up that if your kicker goes down, you just go out onto the street and sign a new one.
Which is what they did three different times
after Gostkowski went down last year.
Why did
they not have any kind of a backup plan? They had to do what any other slapbag team in the league would do.
Oh, that's normal. Then you bring in a schlep off the street. That's what you do. But then you change your thought process on 4th and 3, around the 40. And all you got to do is bump it up another 10 yards to help the new guy out.
Right. Right,
by the way, Martin Gramatica was here in 2006 in camp with Gostkowski when he was a rookie. So they brought in a veteran to compete with Gostkowski in his rookie camp. So thank you, Jim, for looking that up, for coming up with that so quickly.
Does anybody remember that? I don't
remember that. I do. I remember that now. Now that you tell me that, I remember that.
Didn't he blow out his knee in Tampa?
Wasn't that Bill Gramatica?
That was his brother, right?
Another fruitcake brother.
He was signed on April 6th, and he wasn't released until August 23rd, and I don't have any recollection that that ever happened.
I remember that. I do remember that now that you mentioned that. So they did that when he was a rookie because they maybe were not 100% sold on Gostkowski, but they invested a pick in him, and he worked out. He ended up being a very good, excellent replacement, I would say, for Adam Vinatieri. I'm so mad about this kicker discussion now, Artie. I'm so mad at you over this.
That's one thing he will not do today. That is clear.
No, there's a couple of things I'm not going
to
do today.
What is your list of things? Where was that on the list of like things not to do?
I'll put it in Slack.
We heard you cooking breakfast.
Things I am not going to do today.
All right.
breakfast wasn't on that list because you cooked that thing today.
There is some daylight in the sports world. There is daylight on the NBA and NHL front in terms of those sports getting back to work. Some reports over the weekend, some details. We'll tell you what they are and what Boston's role in this could be. All that's next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Something.
You gotta wear your lucky jersey, don't wash the lucky socks,
rub your ball 16 times. Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
Mm-hmm. Zolak and Bertrand at 11:20. If you're into sports, and if you're listening to this show, my guess is you are. Some NBA teams are going to be allowed to open their gyms as soon as this week, this Friday, May 1st. It will be in places where stay-at-home orders or advisories are not in effect. So obviously here in Massachusetts, that's not going to work for the Celtics. But in places where there are not orders or advisories, you will be able to go to the gym if you're an NBA player starting on Friday.
Okay. We'll take that.
It's a start, right?
It's a start.
For individual workouts. So they're not going to be, you know, holding team practices. But for guys like Jason Tatum, for example, had he not been playing for the Celtics right now, but guys who are like Jason Tatum, who haven't shot a basketball, this will be a good opportunity for them to go to the gym and have an individual workout. They will have a facility that is, what is that noise?
Zoe's chewing something.
Sorry.
What you eating, Zoe?
Yeah, what do you got there?
Well, let me turn on my, there we go. The granola. That's all.
That's a shame.
Wait, you shut your mic off?
My mic's off. My mic's on now.
Wow. Technical Zoe, that's great. I never
first
thought we'd
time
get to
I've
this
ever
point.
Done that.
Well, it wasn't off while he was munching on the granola.
Well, it was up here. Like up here. Like I had the hear the granola, me munching.
It's too bad we just didn't come out of a commercial break where you could have eaten that granola. Oh, we did.
Oh. That was a fast break.
Anyway, they're going to be opening up starting May 1st, but it obviously, just by its nature, hey, if your state's open, you can go practice, is going to be a competitive advantage for states where this has not hit as hard. So the Celtics will be at a disadvantage because of this, if other teams are allowed to get their guys back in their building.
Let me ask you a question. If these kids are back home at certain states, are you allowed to go to gyms and shoot around and play? It's a good question, right? Say some of these kids live down in Atlanta.
Well, it's interesting, Zoe, because we had sort of asked the question. Remember, we had heard from NHL players.
Have to be all here in Boston. You know what I mean?
Like, but NHL players were told to stay in their homes. Their teams, their league, it was a league directive that NHL players were told to stay home. Don't
MLB
go out.
MLB, too. Go back to your families. Yeah.
Yeah, but it was specific. It was, you know, don't make the trip to the grocery store. Don't be going anywhere. You need to stay in your house in the event that we want to come back. We want to be able to say that you have not left your home. So leave that, you know, leave that to somebody else to if you need something. So we didn't know. We kept asking, you know, did the NBA do the same thing? Obviously, that is not going to be in place this coming week if they're allowing teams to open some facilities. So you're right, so what if you're not in the city that you play in? And I don't know if there are guys who are doing that, but it's a good question.
I mean, young players, they could go and live with their mothers, you know, or families back home.
Yes, like that's an interesting
one, right?
Question.
22, 21, 23-year-old kids. It's a young league.
And, you know, I take it as a positive sign that, you know, someone's going to open up something. That's good. But like you said, Beetle, in this league and in every other league, they're always just trying to make sure everything is the same for every team, that nobody has a competitive advantage. This is a clear competitive advantage if your guys can get together and start practicing and other teams can't.
But say you're not even practicing, you're just working out. You're just shooting around, and you're running and dribbling and working on your skills. Would NBA teams be open to other NBA players living in their area to come in and share the gym with them if they're in the area? That's what I'm saying. I think it's totally feasible, right?
I would think so.
Without an organized practice is what I'm saying. You know?
Yeah.
Hey, we want to come and shoot 1,000 foul shots.
Especially in today's NBA.
Who's
not
that gonna hurt?
Not in the era that we watched last night.
Oh, God, that wouldn't happen. Bill Laimbeer's not coming to shoot foul shots.
I don't think they would have been so open with their facilities back in 88 and 89. But now, sure. These guys are all friends. We know that. You know, give them more chance to conspire for next free agency moves. They would probably love the opportunity to shoot around with some guys from some other teams.
In addition to that, the NHL will reportedly open training camps on June 1st. June 1st is the target date for training camps to reopen in the NHL now. And there are a number of teams that have offered to be a host city for NHL games. I think that number is 22 different teams have offered up and want to be the host team, including the Boston Bruins is one of those teams, wanting to be a host city for games, for NHL games to be played. My thought on that right away is that it's like a month away. It just feels to me like there's not a ton of awareness of how the rest of the country is viewing places like New York and Boston and the hotspots, which we are certainly one of them, that I can't understand why the NHL would ever get, you know, an offer from the New York Rangers or the Boston Bruins and say, yeah, we're going to go there and play games. Like, I just think it shows that we're not totally aware of how our neck of the woods is being viewed by people who are not here.
Well, two things, Beetle. Number one, they're not talking about playing games tomorrow or next week, or Lord knows how long it's going to take for them to actually playing those games. The second thing I would say is that if you're going to try and make that pitch, if you're at the, you know, the tail end of your curve and things have flattened out, you could make the case that come to Boston. We have the best medical facilities anywhere, and should things go south, we've got all the medical personnel within a 3-mile radius around us here to treat anything that could and might go wrong. But the last thing I would think of is this may be one of those things where you can see the obvious benefit to the owners and to the teams that would end up being a host, but it might also be something that these guys see as an obligation, whereas, you know what, you're kind of expected to raise your hand and say, yeah, you know, we'd be willing to host, we'd be willing to do this thing. And they're not doing it purely for selfless reasons. I get that. But there may be some degree of expectancy from the league. It's like, we need a bunch of teams to step up here and say they would accommodate, and they would, because it's going to be a lot of work, too, you know, from whatever host city is there. So they may have, some of these teams might even feel obligated to say, yeah, we could end up being one of these host places. So it's not 100% a selfish move on the part of the Bruins or the building owners or anything else.
Well, I just think it's just not going to happen. It's not going to come to fruition. Boston, New York, maybe even Philadelphia in that mix as well. They're not going to look at those places and say, yeah, we're going there. I mean, they were looking at where was the place out in the Dakotas? Where were they looking?
North Dakota. South Dakota, something. I mean,
they're looking at the freaking Dakotas to go out to somewhere where it's, you know, away from things. They're not going to go right into a hot spot in Boston.
Not a hot spot anymore.
Right, but they're going to make the decision long before it happens.
Yeah, you're going to presumably, if this is what ends up happening, is you're going to go to a place where there isn't a highly concentrated, close together population. You know, that has
had a recent spike too. You know,
well, forget about the spike. Even if it's like, if you're worried about infection, like, you know, somehow popping up again, don't do it in a place where people all live on top of each other.
I'm not even talking about infection. I'm talking more about you're picking places where stay at home orders, advisories, etc., could be in place longer than anywhere else.
Yeah,
they're going to be the slowest to get back up and moving.
Yeah, I don't think
the league's not going to pick those
anyway.
Spots.
No.
They're not going to pick those spots.
No.
So I think they got no shot. I think the Bruins have no shot at landing the
game. But
I'd be stunned if they did.
Yeah, we'll do it. And the 22 teams said they'd do it. Yeah, we'll host. That's fine. We'll do it. So the Bruins were one of them.
617-779-0985 is the telephone number. But it does show that there is a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel where the leagues are talking about getting up and going again. That, you know, it is actually starting to happen. They're starting to try and make some of those plans. Let's get in a couple more of your calls. John is in Boston. Hey, John.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, John?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, John.
Hello? Okay, yeah, I got to tell you guys, I'm real disappointed in how you handle the kicker situation. There were so many open questions that you did not cover. First being, did the Patriots even know about this? I mean, I can't believe they knew about this.
Yeah, I think he said he was asked about it. He was asked about it.
Well, I don't believe that.
So you don't believe the player that told you the team asked him about it?
Okay. Number two, I think the issues that he's going to have to explain himself in the locker room, and what I'd like to know, did he ever cover himself up before with his other two teams?
On the highlight stuff, I didn't see him covered up at Marshall. No.
Or from, No, he never has. He's clueless, and you can't tell me that this kid at 16 or 17 years old did not know that this was a white sympathizer group. I mean, I just can't buy that. And I think they are going down a road. Trust me, I'll call back when the season starts and admit if I was wrong. He will not play with the Patriots this year, period. Thank you.
Okay, John. Did he say that the team asked him about it?
I thought he said he asked. They asked him in this pre-draft thing. Yeah.
I mean, I didn't hear that in what we played, and that's the only time I've heard him speak of it.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to join me in the not do this today, or you still want to do it? There's room. There's room in not going to do this club.
I'm almost there.
You better scour every inch of every body of every single player in that room, because a lot of people got tattoos.
Yeah, I don't think he admitted to the team asking him about it, though. I don't think that
I think he
was said.
I thought I read something over the weekend that somebody came in, one of the workouts at Marshall, and was asked about it by one of the scouts or something.
All right, maybe. Hardy, yeah, I'm almost there.
Yeah.
I'm almost there. Let's get to headlines, and we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
The triangle offense is set so that there's a key pass that creates motion. And then there's 33 different types of options that come out of that single pass. Players can do spontaneous, creative things using their strengths.
You know, everybody has an opportunity to touch the ball, but I didn't want Bill Cartwright to have the ball with 5 seconds left.
Dumps into Cartwright, shoots over Rollins. Nope.
That's not an equal opportunity offense. That's bull.
Oh, my. Jordan has 54 points. 60 points for Jordan. 69 points for Michael Jordan.
There was so many times the text used to yell at me, saying, move the ball. He says, no I in team. I said, it's an I in win.
That was last night, as The Last Dance continues Sunday nights on ESPN. That was when the triangle offense came into play for the Chicago Bulls and for Michael Jordan, who always wanted the ball. He wanted the ball. A couple of interesting things from last night's episodes. Number one, you're starting to see the full Michael Jordan sort of PR that this piece is. That was my first. Doesn't mean it's not good. This is very entertaining. This documentary is very well done. I'm enjoying the hell out of it. But did you notice that last night was all about how Michael just sacrificed so much for the Bulls to be what they were? How much he sacrificed to give up the ball to a teammate?
Yeah.
And how when Paxson was taking shots, like how big that was of Michael to allow another player to take shots, and how much he sacrificed, how much of a team guy he was.
Like, it's nice when Rodman doesn't want the ball, though.
Man, that was real. I mean, it just felt like it was really being pushed. How much of a sacrifice that was to win championships.
It's amazing. And it's just so much stuff that you see, the little things, as you watch this and you see how a pro sports team moves in and out of locker rooms and how some guys are handled. And there's some similarity to, like, you know, being around Brady for 20 years and how that grew into what Brady is now compared to what he was in year one and two. How you got to, you know, move through a locker room with four security guys or get to a bus. And you see Dennis Rodman coming out, his security guy, and he's chugging a beer right before he gets on his motorcycle. And he chugs these beers, and then he gets let out by a motorcycle escort. And he's driving a motorcycle after drinking. Him wanting to go on vacation right in the middle of the season because, you know, I need a vacation. I need a break. I need to go to Vegas just to go on a freaking bender. And I'm like, this stuff happened. That wouldn't happen in the modern-day NBA. And how Phil, the head coach was able to just juggle every person. It reminded me a little bit of Parcells, because he'd let some guys get away with stuff, like an LT, but he'd break some guys' balls because this guy needed his balls broken. You know, and it was almost like LT was that Dennis Rodman type player. But it's just I love seeing the behind the scenes stuff. Love it. Love the locker room stuff. Love the little talks here and there. I actually love how he just said, you know what? Management told me I'm not going to be here next year. And we're going to entitle this season The Last Dance. Like, that doesn't happen. Hey, you guys aren't going to be here anymore. You're not going to coach. Greatest player, you're not going to be. This will never happen again. So let's just circle the wagons and let's run for one more run for the roses. I mean, like, is really this what this was? And yeah, that's what it was. It was amazing.
I know that the Detroit Pistons involvement last night definitely was fun for Hardy. I just wanted to follow up with one more thing on Jordan, and that is they play this up as he made some great sacrifice, yet he didn't give up any fame, any fortune, and he certainly didn't give up the reputation as being the best player in the NBA to play a little differently under Phil Jackson. Like, he didn't – what did he give up, really? It made him and his team – legendary is what it did. And I just thought it was, I don't know, last night it felt like it was getting, I know it's about Jordan, it just felt it was getting a little too Jordan-centric, if that makes sense.
Well, at some point it had to, right?
Well, I mean, it already was, but it just felt like, you know, there's like a push for you to have more appreciation for Jordan than you already had. So I think he's come off looking really good so far in this documentary through four episodes. But, Hardy, how about the Pistons involvement last night? Did that get you excited?
Didn't appreciate him too much in those back-to-back Eastern Conference finals there, did you? I mean, he played pretty well, but don't go in the paint. Not against the bad boys. Don't do that. Do you know who is more upset about that than anyone? And maybe as upset as I've seen anyone in a long, long time?
What?
Paul Perillo was blowing up my phone last night.
Really?
Screaming at me about the thug Pistons. I'm like, hey, you know, what do you want, pal? You know, there's no I in team. There's only an I in win, you know?
Oh, the John Sally stuff, too. Yeah, they're going to come down late. You're going to foul. I'm like, no, you're going to foul. You're going to beat the hell out of them. that's what we do.
I mean, and the only thing I wish they would have done, and this thing has been great. This thing has been so good. But there was a building narrative, right, with Jordan, you know, rookie of the year, defensive player of the year, and he's a scoring leader and blah, 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 and they get past Cleveland. What's going to happen? Oh, you're literally going to get knocked down, literally and figuratively, by the Pistons in the Eastern Conference Finals. And that's, you know, there was something to the effect of it's like they showed us that we weren't ready. Okay, they're going to be ready next year, right? Well, instead of skipping right to next year's Eastern Conference Finals, where the same thing happened again, they went off on a Dennis Rodman tangent for a little while. So it didn't have quite the impact of watching them get beat down back-to-back years by the Pistons in the Conference Finals. But they got around to it again. I understand it's, you know, it's a method of editing and storytelling. They wanted to get away from that for a few minutes and get to the Rodman stuff, which was also really good. But man, oh man, those teams, you talk about real, real hatred and a dislike for each other. You know, we thought we had it between the Red Sox and Yankees, ended up being 90% BS. You know, you thought you had it between the Celtics and a lot of teams they played, and other than the Pistons, probably not. You know, we already know Danny Ainge was out there playing golf with Michael Jordan. So, this animosity between players and teams doesn't really exist. But it existed against the Bulls and the Pistons, and we know against the Celtics and Pistons. Now, those teams legit hated each other.
So when the Bulls beat the Pistons and...
Oh, yeah, skip right to that part. Go ahead.
When the Bulls beat the Pistons...
After the Pistons beat them 2 years in a row. Yes,
correct.
Go ahead.
Year
Still
three
listening.
Of the rivalry.
That was covered in Bad Boys, the documentary.
Third time around they beat them, yeah.
That was covered in the 30 for 30 on the Pistons. This is the 30 for 30 on the Bulls, right?
Yes. It's not a 30 for 30, and it's supposed to be about 98, but, you know, good for them for acknowledging that dark, dark period.
I just wanted to set up...
They couldn't get past the best team of the 80s. Go ahead.
I just wanted to set up the greatest clip of the night last night, which was Michael Jordan reacting to Isaiah Thomas, talking about having not gone through a handshake line of any sort after the game. There was, because the Pistons had left the court early, after getting swept by the Bulls. They left with the game not over yet. Sure. And so here's Jordan's reaction to Isaiah. Here it is.
But during that period of time, that's just not how it was passed. When you lost, you left the floor. How's it?
This is Isaiah talking about the walk-off.
Well, I know it's all whatever he says now, you know it wasn't his true actions then. You know, it's time enough to think about it. Or the reaction of the public that's kind of changed his perspective of it. Yeah, you can show me anything you want. There's no way you can convince me he was.
Knowing what we know now and the aftermath of what took place, but during that period of time, that's just not how it was passed. Just wasn't. And you can go back and you can look at any of those old games or whatever. When you lost, you left the floor.
All you got to do is you go back to us losing in game 7. I shook everybody's hand. 2 years in a row, we shook their hands when they beat us. There was a certain respect to the game.
So he blows off Isaiah's explanation. Because the Pistons somehow blame the Celtics in this. Because the Celtics pulled it on the Pistons once.
That's right. Yeah. So, and look, go ahead and get outraged all over the country, not in Boston, though. You can't do this in Boston. But everyone else wants to call Isaiah Thomas and the rest of, and Bill Laimbeer, because according to Isaiah, it was Lambeer's idea to walk off the floor and not acknowledge him after the loss. Fine, go ahead. But not in Boston, because here it's celebrated. When Belichick, you know, gives just a cursory to whatever opposing coach.
Why don't we stay on the topic of the NBA and the Celtics and the Pistons and the Bulls?
I'm just saying, in Boston, you have less room to say that Isaiah is a jerk about this than anywhere else. But please.
Where was that game played when the Celtics walked off?
I believe it was in Boston.
Was it in Boston or Detroit?
I thought it was in Boston.
I thought it was in Detroit. They were in green, weren't they?
Yeah, it was in Detroit.
The ugly green.
And this was totally missed in this. Versus home. And you got to remember, this is a different time. Do you remember when fans would just crowd the court? Like after NBA games in the 80s?
Yeah.
The home road thing mattered, and nobody brought this up.
That they could run on the court.
Detroit was at home when they walked off the court. Like if you're on the road, there's a reason why that might happen. But they did it at home. You guys are at home. What are you doing? There's not going to be this massive, you know, crowd that rushes onto the floor that you get caught up in. What are you doing? Like, they were at home. And not only that, Celtics thing aside, MJ had shaken hands with all of them the previous 2 years. So what are you talking about? This is how it was done at the time. You're a fraud. You're lying, Isaiah. You're lying. MJ's right about this. We can get to more on this, Hardy, because I know it upsets you, which is... Fanboy Hardy comes out for these Pistons, which is great. It's my favorite.
It doesn't upset me. I was thrilled to see that they did in fact acknowledge that if it weren't for the Pistons, you wouldn't have Michael Jordan. They were instrumental in making him what he became.
you're giving the Pistons credit for Michael Jordan. That 100%, is awesome.
100%. And I will say it now, and I'll repeat it throughout the program today to the entire sports world who got to see Michael Jordan win his 6 championships and become the greatest of all time as a Pistons fan.
You're welcome. There it is. I knew it. 617-779-0985. Some other thoughts from old games over the weekend. We'll get to that. More on the Patriots draft coming up in the noontime hour.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
617-779-0985. I will say, though, man, don't you miss that NBA? That version of the NBA?
Yes. Oh. Yes.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Everything about that style of play. And not just the Pistons, either. I mean, Rodman went from the Pistons to being on the Bulls later on, as we saw last night. There was another great clip from last night. That was Jordan going to Vegas to retrieve Rodman.
Just give me an hour.
Actually, listen to this audio. Listen to the audio. Let's listen to the audio of Jordan.
One thing about Dennis, he had to escape. He'd like to go out. He'd like to go to clubs. We'd go to his favorite restaurant, then we'd go to a nightclub, then we'd go to after hours. It's in stock. It was definitely an occupational hazard to be Dennis' girlfriend. He was wild.
It's time for party time. It's time to blow your mind. It's time for party time. Suck it up.
But to be honest, I didn't realize what the team's schedule was. I didn't know he took a detour.
He didn't come back on time. We had to go get his ass out of bed. You know, and I'm not going to say what's in his bed and where he was and blah, blah, blah.
There's a knock on the door. It's Michael Jordan. And I hid. I didn't want him to see me like that. So I'm just like hiding behind the couch with covers over me. Come on. We got to get to practice.
So that's Carmen Electra you hear, his girlfriend at the time. Then it was his wife for a bit.
Lucky girl.
Carmen Electra, who was with Dennis Rodman. Classic. So you enjoyed that, though. What was in his bed?
I don't know. Who was in his bed? What else was in his bed?
What was going on there?
Like Mike alluded to, I'm not going to get into what was in his bed. She already told you she's over by the couch covered in a blanket. So knowing this guy and the city he was in, could have been anything. Could have been Siegfried and Roy doing magic tricks.
Yep.
With Montefiore. Right. I mean, hey, Montefiore could have been there spinning on a ball in his room. Now it's a party, right? Mike Tyson could have been sitting in the other room.
Got a white tiger in there and Cirque du Soleil.
Cirque du Soleil weirdos dressed up with the big big feet and the noses going hur, hur, with their horns. Yeah, trippy.
The fact that he asked for a vacation in the middle of the season.
Not a vacation. Like
Dennis Robinson, he goes, I need a vacation. And Jordan says, I need a vacation? What is he talking about? He needs a vacation. And Phil's like, what are you going to do? We got to give him a vacation.
48 hours. You realize, Phil, you let him out that door. He's getting right on an airplane going to Vegas. You're not going to see him in 48 hours.
Yeah.
But they sent the camera crew with him, though, right? The camera crew was there with him.
Yeah, we assume. Yeah. I mean, I don't know that it was from that particular trip. Who knows, right?
That's a good point.
Like, that could have been from another Vegas trip that they filmed.
Reality show or something, yeah.
Yeah. So who knows what that was from? But just the idea that you got to let him be. I mean, they did let Dennis Rodman be Dennis Rodman to be able to get the best out of him. How about Phil Jackson, though, when he was talking about in a press availability saying, well, you know, right now, Rodman is just not where he needs to be in terms of like wanting to play basketball.
Effort, like, the want, right?
Like, he's lagging.
I think the term he used was lagging behind. He's lagging behind quite a bit.
He's lagging behind right now.
But picture him as a kamikaze guy, though.
Yeah, big kamikaze guy.
Yeah, I've gotten more of an appreciation for Phil Jackson out of this too, because heard about how he was the Zen master and you know heard stories about it, but. You know, to see him, you know, have, I guess, a willingness to really, really, you know, bend and then be a disciplinarian. And, you know, it takes a borderline, like, I don't want to call him a genius, but really a genius of, like, you know, human nature and human behavior to say, okay, here's the best player in the world. What are you going to do with Jordan? Let him do whatever he wants? No, I'm going to ride his ass really hard at practice. Then you've got a good player, not nearly as important to the team as Michael is, and Dennis Rodman, who's a screw-up, and he wants to go out to Vegas. What do? Well, you let him go. You know, it's to be able to you know what to do with each of these guys and have them respond in the ways that they did. It's fascascinating to watch that part too.
Yeah. That's what I think Rob Gronkowski's looking for down in Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
He's looking for the ability to go on a 48-hour day trip.
How about when the equipment manager came in and he introduced Jordan was sitting in a back office having a cup of coffee and he had his bodyguards around him.
Yeah.
He goes, they're all brothers. That's Mr. Sniff, Chuck Sniff, George Sniff. Well, why is the last name Six? They're all jock sniffers. They sniff Mike's jock. And those were his bodyguards because they kissed his ass so much. They all had bodyguards. That team was so individually based, but yet it still played as a team. And they had such great role players. I remember being in a Super Bowl down in Miami. I forget which one it was. One of the Super Bowls when it was down in Miami. We were at a club down on South Beach, and Rodman came walking in. And Madonna was also in the club at the same time. Weren't they an item at one time, Marty? Or maybe weren't. They were.
Oh, yeah.
And he just stood there and stared at her, and then, like, her people were pushing his people back. And then he came and walked by us, and I didn't know how big he was. He's a big dude. No wonder he's one of the greatest, maybe the greatest rebounder, or maybe greatest defender in the league. Have a guy that big move that way and jump that way. And the amount of balls he kept alive off tips is just... And the guy was such a good player. But he never wanted to score. He could care less about scoring points.
They showed that stat last night. I don't know if it was one of the trivia things, but the games where, you know, he had 20 rebounds and no points.
Yeah.
Could you imagine?
Yeah,
20
unbelievable.
Rebounds, no points. And there were lots of games where he would have between 15 and 20 rebounds and, you know, 2 points. You know, three, and they may have all been free throws for that matter. You know, that his taking field goals was not his thing.
He didn't care.
Yeah, did you see who the other player was that had that happen, by the way, on the trivia question?
Yeah, I did, and now I can't remember.
It was Marcus Camby. It was 20 rebounds, no points. He had done it twice in his career.
Yeah.
Camby was the other guy. Let's get to headlines. Noontime hour is here. We will get to Read and React at 12:36. We'll talk about the Patriots taking two tight ends in the draft in just a moment. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.